Welcome to Built Brave. Driven women sharing their stories to show others what is possible for them. Because we were all born brave. I'm your host, Lo Wentworth, and this is Built Brave. Are you ready? Hey, everyone. So, before we get into today's episode, I have a request of you guys. So for the month of February, I'm going to be running a giveaway for two lucky winners. Now, how do you get in this giveaway, you might be asking? You leave a review on iTunes. So rate, review this podcast on iTunes, then screenshot it, share it in your story, and tag me at Lo Wentworth on Instagram. And I'll have this all in the show notes too, but I'll be running a giveaway where I'm giving away a book called Girl on Fire with the author's signature in it. And it's a book that has, you know, shifted my perspective in life over the past few months when it came out. And I'm going to be giving away two free coaching sessions, a 30-minute coaching session, just hit and run, and then a 90-minute in-depth coaching session. So there'll be three winners in this whole month of February, and the winners will be announced on March 1st or around March 1st. So please, I'd be eternally grateful to go, like, rate, review, get yourself in this giveaway, and get some goodies out of it. You know, what do you have to lose? 2 minutes of leaving a review? You probably spend longer creating a TikTok video or writing your Instagram post, because I know I take longer than that. But I digress. Again, in the show notes, I'll let you know what exactly it is. Like, you leave a rate, review, screenshot it, tag me on Instagram, and you're in. And with that, I'm so excited for today's interview. I say that all the time because I am really just blessed and excited to connect with all these different women, have their different walks of life, find out what they can teach me, teach you guys. And this one, you guys get to see another side of me because we talk about astrology and all that woo-woo stuff. And yes, I would say I'm a woo-woo junkie because I love crystals. I love tarot card readings. I love horoscopes, learning all about that because it shows me a different side of my personality. It also shows me a different side of me. And I don't think everything that comes from all this stuff is gold, the law of everything that will happen. Yes, some stuff resonates for me, some stuff doesn't. Just like there's probably some stuff on this podcast that resonates for you and doesn't resonate for you, or any personal development you do or the people you learn from. There are some stuff you resonates and stuff doesn't. That's all it is. And I very much enjoy learning all about myself so I can teach others how to learn all about themselves and start living the life of their own dreams. But yeah, so I'm really excited. I can't wait to hear what you guys learned from this episode because it was so much fun. And let us begin. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm excited for today's guest. I say that a lot. I'm always excited for the guests because I love having them come on and their stories and see what comes up for them and for me as well. And I have Danielle on. So Danielle, if you could take it away and let people know who you are.
Sure. So hi, I'm Danielle Mercurio. And I always like to share that my personal mission is to give people permission to live a life that feels more on purpose, to be in a space that the things that we are meant to do are meant to be in our existence. And I do that through my work as a confidence coach. I'm also an astrologer and a speaker, and I founded last year the Meditation Method Teacher Training, which allows individuals that have brought meditation into their life to start to teach it to others as well. So I love having the ability to do a lot of things at once, but the essence of what I do is that feeling of you can live on purpose. You have permission.
I think that's awesome intention. Like, I'm such a big proponent of people like, go do your own thing. Like, go do it. Yes. There's a reason why something is coming on your heart and you keep thinking about it. Like, go do it.
Mm-hmm. Trust it, it.
Oh, yeah. And it also doesn't have to be like, oh, I want to do this career shift. It could be like, this person. I need to talk to this person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to go to that yoga class. I need to start eating in this way. Like, we just get these little pings and they can be very small. It doesn't mean like, yeah, I have to start a media empire. You know, it's like, it doesn't have to be anything crazy, but if it's little, that's how we begin to exercise our intuition and just start to play with those notions.
And on that note, before we get into your background, someone, because this question keeps getting asked of me all the time, because they're like, you're so intuitive, how do you do it? What would be your advice, and how do you like build trust to that intuition?
Mm-hmm. Well, the biggest way I think to build trust with your intuition is to first notice the times you didn't listen to it.
Oh, yes.
Right? We have, how many moments have we had where we did have an intuitive hit and we didn't follow it, and then we were like, oh, I should have listened. What was that? Right? So let's rewind. What was that moment? Where did that come from? Boom. Now you just found your intuition. So it's like, let's explore that part of us. That's that voice that seems to say yes or no, or seems to have some kind of extra layer of wisdom or a thought process that doesn't quite feel like it's coming from your brain. It feels like it's coming from somewhere else inside of you. And the more that we start to listen to that and start to kind of play with it and trust it, then the more it can kind of become a power that we use in our everyday life. So I always say, look to the times when you noticed you didn't listen, backtrack, and then start to speak to that voice. One thing that I like to do in the morning is I say hi to it. So before, one of my biggest things is before I look at my phone or look at someone else and give my power away, I look at myself. Whether that be getting up and going to the mirror and being like, hey, Danielle, or just laying in bed and just taking a few moments to breathe and say hi to my intuition. Be like, hey, I see you. I hear you. Let's rock it today. And it kind of gives our intuition permission to like open up and be a part of our day.
Oh, that's really awesome. Like acknowledging yourself. Because there's so many times that people are, their morning routines, they're like, I don't touch my phone. Mm-hmm. But even like turning to another human being like, nope, let me acknowledge who I am like as a person and then go on with the day. Mm-hmm. I also keep forgetting about that stuff of telling people about the intuition of like, well, when was times you're like, oh, shit, I should have. Like I just go into them like, well, what if something tells you to go left instead of right? Like, go do that. So yeah, that's actually a really good tip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But same with the directional thing too. That's another great way, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you get it right, cool. If you didn't, that's fine. You keep learning. Don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. It's a muscle.
It is. Very much so is. So getting into your background, how did you stumble upon, jump in, or the universe smacked you on the face into what you're doing now?
Yeah, it was more of the smack. Falling to my knees. I will say, like, I grew up very typical upper middle class family, Catholic, just kind of was in that bubble or that notion of like, this is how you're supposed to do life, right? Like you're supposed to do well in school. You're supposed to go to college. You're supposed to get a good job. You're supposed to get married because that creates some notion of safety and that you're okay. And anytime I would kind of bring up a notion of like, I don't feel like I identify with this. I feel like maybe I want to be a performer. Or I feel like I want to explore something outside the Catholic faith. I was always shut down. So my whole life, my whole like upbringing, I was shut down because it was almost deemed as whenever I had an opinion, it was too much and it wasn't like everybody else. And so to kind of deal with that, I just kind of created an archetype of myself that was a people pleaser that tried to do what everyone told her to do, tried to kind of fit inside the mold and the timeline that society was projecting. But deep down, I felt very confused. I was very hard on myself. I was always wondering why I was different. Why couldn't I just be like the majority? And the more you're in that headspace, the more you just lose sight of who you are. And I wound up going to college. I went for elementary ed, which I didn't really want to do, but people were like, you should do that, right? Like, mm-hmm. You'll be a teacher and that will be safe. And for all my teachers, that's beautiful. But deep down, again, I didn't really even know what my intuition was. I knew it wasn't right for me, but I did it anyway. And then after college, I continued to feel lost. I continued to feel like I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't making the right choices when it came to my career. And the more that you try to please and meet the expectations of the outside world, the more you don't meet your own and the more you have to kind of numb it out. And so I found myself as a coping mechanism, drinking after work. I found myself being really impulsive with my habits, overspending, overeating, being promiscuous with men, because it was the only thing that I knew to like try to cope with it. And the more lost I became, the more I used these like escapism activities mm-hmm. to try to make myself feel better. And it was a little over 10 years ago that I was in a position where I was sexually assaulted. And the thing is, I didn't even realize I was sexually assaulted. It wasn't until actually a few years ago with the Me Too movement that I realized what that was. But regardless, it was enough of a circumstance to shake me up and realize, like, I can't keep living my life this way. I can't keep just like throwing myself into things that are harmful and don't have meaning. I can't keep waking up in the morning and being like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't even know how I'm going to make it through the day. And it was enough of a smack down after a series of things happening to be like, I think I want to get help, like for real. Like, and I had tried therapy before and different mm-hmm. things, but I never really took it seriously. And this time I did. And so I found a group coaching program. I found a therapist and eventually I found meditation and it just kind of was taking. I was taking well to it. I was taking well to receiving help. And it was through getting help that eventually I started to kind of come to terms with all of the places where I felt lack and self-criticism and like I wasn't enough, to then start feeling like maybe I did have a chance. Maybe I could make something of this life, which eventually led me into wanting to help other people feel that way too. It's like once you get a hit of like, oh my God, like I actually am allowed to take my life from here. I'm allowed to claim it. I'm allowed to take ownership. It's a high. And it was something that I was like, oh my God, I have to show, just like what you were saying with your show, like I have to show other women that like they have a second chance too, that there can be more. And that's when I started getting into coaching and, you know, doing this work, not only for myself, but for others as well. So that's kind of like the abbreviated version of it all.
you brought up a lot of good points there. And one of them, particularly at the end, is like going out to getting help and you were taking to it. It was because you were ready for it, where other times you weren't ready for it. It's so like your intuition was like, yes, and you do it, but you weren't like, okay, yes, I'll take it. I will surrender whatever will be because I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, it had to get that extreme. It's funny now that I think about it. I actually ghosted some of my therapists back in the day before ghosting was a thing. I'm like, oh my God, I never thought of that. I was like, I totally ghosted some therapists in my day before I was ready.
Well, okay. They probably figured you weren't a great client either. So
I'm sure it wasn't the first time they've been ghosted by their clients.
That's hilarious. So, yeah, ghosting. Okay. So you were brought to your knees, like were you still teaching at this time or what was like going on in your head when you were going through this transition?
I had actually done a complete role reversal. So I ended up leaving teaching and working for restaurants, and which actually was a great experience. I think if anyone can work in the restaurant industry, it teaches you so much about life. But from there, I actually wound up working at a law firm and doing administrative work. And so that was like keeping me afloat. And if anything, it almost like in a weird way was like a little bit of a way to keep me safe, because it was like, oh, look at me. I'm working at a law firm. I have a 9-to-5, especially after working in restaurants. I have insurance. It was a way to kind of like keep people off my back from being like, what are you doing with your life? Because when I was so like all over the place with my career, at least this felt like a little bit of structure. But I was working that job, and then that job actually was the thing that supported me while I was getting help. And what's interesting is I started that job as a file clerk, then got brought on to be an administrative assistant. And then eventually got to the point where I was an executive assistant for one of the partners. And then when our Philly office closed, they transferred me to New York City to continue to support that individual. And it wasn't in, you know, and so it's actually interesting because it's like the progression of my self-help journey mirrored the progression at that job.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
That is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So as you were rising your vibration, it was rising with you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, and again, they didn't know like what was happening behind the scenes. They were just seeing that I seemed to be doing a better and better job, and you know, they wanted to keeping me employed. And so, and it was a good fit for me, honestly, because it allowed me to, once I was in the space of being able to use it to help invest in my self-care, I also used it as a way to invest in growing a business and, you know, to pay for my coaching training and just different things that I was doing along the way.
Yeah, because you don't want to, it's challenging to talk about that stuff in a law firm anyway, because it's very like, oh my God, yes, I have a law degree. So that's I know the whole, I know that whole background where some people are like, well, why don't you talk to your boss about this? And I'm like, excuse me, you know, traditional law firms. Yeah. This is a traditional law firm. We don't have a life outside of here. Like we don't. And if you try, we got problems.
Exactly. And I think that's why it was actually really beneficial, because as I was coming out of my shell and becoming more of myself and becoming more interested in personal growth, I became a more positive presence in the office, which was very necessary because it was such a patriarchal, tight, like, yeah, frantic work environment.
Right. And they're also not used to someone coming in as being positive either.
No, I blew them away. I did. But they liked it too at the same time. Cause I mean, again, I did a good job from a, you know, logistical perspective, and it was kind of a bonus that there was this like smiley here for it person.
Right. As long as you weren't missing deadlines or fucking up documents, you are perfect.
Yes.
But if you're doing that, that's the fastest way to, you're done. Gone.
You mess up one thing, you are in.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Nightmares. Yeah. So it was really stressful, and but in other ways, again, like it was helpful because I felt like I could hold space for people that were there that were stressed, whether it be the paralegals, you know, my own boss, other associates that were there, and it kind of gave me a way to see that, like my presence can help people. Mm-hmm. I feel better, you know, even though it's manic. And I could only, like, again, no one knew what I was doing behind the scenes. So it wasn't like I was sitting down and like coaching them, but just I would notice things and I would know what to say to like make them feel a little better just in that moment.
Which is much needed. Law firm life.
And exhale.
Exhale. Done. You can breathe. Did you know in the beginning what type of coaching you were wanting to be doing, or was it just you found this? Like, how did you start on this career path of becoming a coach?
Yeah. So what was interesting was I actually at first thought I was going to go back to grad school for therapy. And I was talking to my therapist about it, how I wanted to go down that route. But for me, traditional schooling isn't the best use of my ability to learn, if that makes sense. And we were talking more about that and what the journey would look like if I were to go to grad school. And then that's when she actually, my therapist, brought up life coaching. And she was like, have you heard of it? And I was like, a little bit. And she was like, why don't you explore that? And then we'll come back and we'll talk more about what the best fit for you will be. And when I started exploring life coaching, I was like, oh, like this is more of what I want to do. And for anyone that doesn't know, like coaching, the difference between coaching and therapy, one of the things is coaching is really around the space of taking any kind of problem that you're currently facing, whether it be your career, your relationship, your own sense of self, some kind of block that's not deep rooted in trauma, because that's more therapy based. Mm-hmm. But let's say you're just feeling stuck and you're like, I just can't see my way out of this. Bring in a coach to hold space for you to listen and ask the right kind of questions to get you into a space where you start to answer those questions and start to connect the dots and figure out why it is that you're stuck. And then once we can help you become unstuck, then we start to create a plan. We start to bring in accountability and we start to kind of move you forward. And I really love that idea. And I love that idea of using it to help individuals feel more confident. I loved it as a way to start bringing in meditation, which I was really loving. And so that's kind of what I saw for myself. And then in time, it actually shifted a little bit And I started to bring in more spiritual teaching. And I started bringing in my gifts with astrology and channeling and all of that. So that was like a whole other journey that I didn't expect. And what's interesting is now it's kind of come full circle. I'm almost 5 years full time now, where it is more based in the confidence and the meditation again. So it just kind of like, you know, spirals in a way. Mm-hmm.
Well, but congratulations on 5 years. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's fun.
So then how did the astrology portion come up and the...
Yeah, it's a great question. So what happened was, it was like, okay, I got my life coaching certification. I went through a program it's called IPEC, Institute of Professional Excellence in Coaching. Great program. I loved it. It really gave me what I needed to be a valid coach, which I wouldn't have gotten otherwise. The issue is you get your certification, and it's not as easy as you think to just get yourself out there. Like I thought, oh, I'm just going to tell my friends. I'm going to tell my family I'm a coach. They're going to refer me. People are going to just sign up. They're going to love me. They're going to want to do it. Mm-hmm. And when I first was starting out, there were a lot of crickets. There were a lot of trial and error. I felt like I wasn't putting myself out there in the right way. My confidence was starting to, you know, be drained. And it just really wasn't coming together. And I really didn't know what to do. I kind of was working on it for almost a year and I wasn't getting the momentum I wanted in any way. And I especially wasn't getting the momentum that was going to be able to support myself full-time doing it. Cause that was the goal. The way I was doing it, I was getting like, I think I had maybe the first year two clients and it was mm-hmm. like, you know, and at a, you know, it just wasn't going to work in the way that I would need it to. And so I was talking to my coach about it and she just kept saying like, you always talk about astrology. Would you want to bring that in? And I was like, no, like literally my first response when she would share that with me would be like, no, why would I do that? It's too woo woo. That's not what people are looking for. It's not going to make me official, et cetera, et cetera. And she was like, all right. Like, you know, she's like, I'm just mirroring what you're telling me. And, you know, you always talk about how astrology is your psychology and is your way to understand people better. So like, wouldn't that go hand in hand? And I kind of marinated on it for a while. And I was like, you know what, at this point, my coaching business is not really going anywhere. What's the harm in bringing in astrology as a way to become like an icebreaker? Like mm-hmm. instead of doing like a Myers-Briggs, I'll look at your birth chart, right? And we can go through your birth chart as like an icebreaker, as a way for me to understand you a little better before I move into coaching. And so I put that notion out there in my head. And then I decided to put a video up on YouTube. Now I had been doing YouTube videos and like the views were like literally under 10 people a video. And sometimes I think it was just because I refreshed it a lot, right? Like mm-hmm. no one was looking at my stuff. And then I put up this video about astrology, like the trends that would be happening that month. And it got like 500 views. And for me, that was like everything. Like that was the proof I needed to explore this more. So then I kept putting up astrology videos. And then eventually someone reached out to me being like, can I do a session with you? And I was like, okay. And you know, I never done one before, like mm-hmm. in that way, but I just went for it. I said, okay. And I just trusted that it would work. And then it just literally became a ripple effect. And I gained a lot of astrology clients and a lot of those astrology clients started to convert into coaching clients. And so it became a really beautiful way for me to get my business going. And then that's when more of the spirituality component started to come in because that's what people were looking for. And I was able to provide from that place too. And so it became a really beautiful way for me to get myself out there, be seen. And eventually it was the astrology that allowed me to leverage leaving my job and doing this full time.
Wow. That's so interesting. Like the one thing that you're like, no, that's too much. People, it's going to send people over the edge. They don't even want it.
Yep. Was the thing that actually, because you know why, when I was saying it's too woo-woo, people don't want it, I was thinking about the people that I was worried would judge me. I was thinking about my family members. I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about people that wouldn't even be my clients to begin with. I was protecting myself from people that I wouldn't even work with. And it was once I finally like let that go and like move them to the side and be like, all right, dad, like you go over here, that the real people could start to come through. And, yeah, it was a way better use of me.
Wow. And that's an amazing point as well, as like putting the people who you think would be judging you is not your people. They're not for you.
No.
Which is really interesting to have that whole like concept. Cause I was there too. Like I had this validation story. I'm like, thinking it was one person, and then kept going until I had a conversation with my father. And then in that conversation, I was like, holy shit, this is the person. And then just the context of it was just like, well, I'm never going to be good enough for you, because it felt like it was going to be another hurdle. And yeah. I'm like, all right, I love you, but bye. Like, I'm going to go do my own thing. So then it's just like, cool, podcast king, and was born.
Yes, exactly. It's amazing what can happen when we create space in that way. Because that's what you did. You create space. You know, you got him out of the room, and now you have all this room to create, and now new people can come in.
Mm-hmm. So can you explain to people what a birth chart is?
Yeah. So the way that I like to describe it is your birth chart is, well, I guess to backtrack. So astrology, and I'm talking about Western astrology. There's a couple systems out there. I'm most drawn to Western astrology. We live in a Western culture. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Western woman, so Western astrology for me. And so we want to think about astrology almost like the weather, in the sense that we're expanding beyond our meteorology system and we're going up to now our solar system. And we want to imagine there's this zodiac wheel. It starts with Aries, then it moves into Taurus, Gemini, and so forth until we get to Pisces. So we have all 12 signs making the wheel. And we want to imagine that this wheel lives under the solar system. And every day, the sun, the moon, the planets move around the wheel like it's a game board. And so what we do is we go back in time, we go back to the day that you were born, and we take a screenshot of the solar system where it was on top of the zodiac wheel. That then becomes your birth chart. So once we have your birth chart, we're able to say, okay, on this day, the sun was here. So for example, I was, you know, let's say today is January 15th. We could say, okay, the sun is in Capricorn. So if someone was born today, they would say, oh, I'm a Capricorn sun. That's the one that we tend to identify with the most. Mm-hmm. Like if someone was born on June 6th, they would say, oh, I'm a Gemini, because the sun is in Gemini that day. So if someone was born today, the sun is in Capricorn. You know, the planet Jupiter is also in Capricorn today. The planet Uranus is in Aries. And we see where all the planets are on the wheel. And then we're able to make comparisons. We're able to say, okay, if your sun is in Capricorn, it means you have these qualities. If your, you know, moon is in this sign, it means you have this quality. And so we're able to break it down just like we'd break down any personality assessment. And that's why I really like it. And then further, we can take your birth chart and we can look at future trends that are happening in astrology, and we can give you themes and clues around what it is that you should be working on, because the astrology works in patterns. And so there's, and I'm sure if we all look back, there are years where love was more of a theme, where money was more of a theme, where work, right? It's usually not everything happens at once. I know we think that sometimes, but it's actually usually pretty patterned out. And so astrology gives us a way to have more awareness around those patterns.
So what's the difference, like the whole meaning of the moon, the sun, moon, and ascension sign or rising?
Yeah. So yes. Great. So good question. So our sun sign, again, it's the most popular one. It's also our masculine. I think that's why it's our most popular one, because, you know, we've been raised in a patriarchal society. So the sun sign being the one that's the most dominant, mm-hmm. kind of came to be. The sun sign, though, if we want to put it, when I say masculine, you know, we don't want to say like the gender per se, we're talking mm-hmm. more about masculine energy, which is being a creator, the generator, the life force. Okay. So we think about the sun, you know, it's who we are during the day. So our sun sign is how do we show up during the day? How do we show up for work? How do we show up to like make stuff happen? Then our moon sign, where the moon was when you were born, that's your feminine. That's the part of you that's able to receive. That's the part of you that's able to be nurtured. That's the part of you that's in touch with your emotions, which may be different than your sun sign. I think a lot of people have a lot of awareness when they learn their sun and their moon together, because they're like, whoa, like my sun sign is very intense, but there's always been a very sensitive part of me. Well, maybe you have a watery moon sign. Maybe your moon sign is Cancer and you are more sensitive. And it gives us permission to explore that. So sun is masculine, moon is feminine, and then our rising sign is where the sun was along the horizon when you were born. And essentially that's the first impression that we give to the world. So our rising sign is when people first meet you, whatever sign that is, that's what they're going to see most. And we can use that as leverage. So if you know what your rising sign is, you're like, oh, well, I give this kind of impression to the world because let's say you're a Libra rising. Okay, maybe I'm someone that's very charming, someone that dresses really well, someone that you know, can see both sides of things. And you can start to play into that a little bit when you're kind of figuring it all out.
Okay.
cool. Yeah, it's fun. So I'm in an interesting spot because when I was born, this doesn't happen all the time, the sun, the moon, and the rising were all in Leo. So I'm like,
wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So I know minimal of mine. Part of me was like, oh, I should have just sent you what mine is. So my sun sign, Sagittarius. My moon sign is Libra. And then my rise sign is Gemini.
Fun.
So as like a Gemini, so I come off as a Gemini, like what do I need to do to leverage in that moment? Because I also know Gemini gets a bad rap because
yes,
flip on a dime.
Yeah, Gemini is one of the signs that gets a bad rap. But when we look at Gemini from the rising sign perspective and the best use of Gemini, Gemini is someone that's very curious, someone that asks a lot of questions, which clearly is what we're doing. Yeah. So, right. So I always call my Geminis either Peter Pan or Alice in Wonderland, right? So you have that like mm-hmm. Alice in Wonderland quality where you're like, I'm very curious. I want to explore. I want to get to know the person more. So when you're showing up in your Gemini rising, you're someone that kind of has that anthropologist kind of energy. And so embody that more. But another thing that would be really helpful is Geminis don't always feel quick to offer up stuff about themselves. And so not being afraid to kind of, while you're asking questions, also showcase who you are to other people. And that kind of strengthens the communication. I think where Geminis get a bad rap is there's often miscommunication because it becomes a little one-sided. So it's like, what can you do to balance that out a little bit and show a little bit more of yourself to create more of that harmony and that equilibrium?
Hmm. That's good. Good to know. So then, okay, since my moon sign is in Libra, how can I use that and leverage those qualities?
Yeah. So having your Libra as your moon sign, you know, and it's similar a little bit to Gemini because they're both air signs. Mm-hmm. So there sometimes qualities overlap. But if your moon sign is Libra, then you're definitely someone that likes it. Like when you ask for what you need because you actually like when you get it. And so I think, right? So there's like Libra moon have a tendency like not ask for what they want and then feel like they're not getting what they want. It's like, well, did you ever ask? Well, no, I just thought blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, like ask. Being a Libra moon, it's so important to ask for what you want. Also, when it comes to the people that you spend time with behind closed doors, whether it be your relationships, you know, family, friends, people outside of work, you really want to showcase the part of you that, I would say let us start to see the part of you that is vulnerable. Let us see the part of you where you're like sharing more of your heart. And the more that you feel expressed, the more your outer world becomes more balanced. That's definitely, you know, Libra is the scales. And so mm-hmm. a Libra moon is kind of about finding harmony through expressing their heart and not feeling like they have to put on a show for the world or put on a show to meet the expectations of others in order to receive love. It's not necessary.
Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, might as well go into the sun sign. Like, the one thing I was deep diving, I don't need to know, but let's see what else can be there.
So what I would say with Sagittarius sun, you know, it's the archer. I also call Sagittarius the wanderlust. They're the individual that loves to explore. They're the individual that's outside the box. Like you are not meant to do the day-to-day life. Like I'm assuming my story resonates with you of like feeling boxed in and mm-hmm. feeling like I'm supposed to do what everyone is telling me, but like I can't. Right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a part of you that's like, I can't. So for you, it's about being outside the box, living a life that's different from other people and really taking ownership of it. Right. And also really knowing, you know, okay, this is time for me to do this thing. I'm going to be outside the box, but then not just jumping to the next thing before you have closure in something. So closure mm-hmm. is important. So not just jumping from one thing to the next, but, allowing yourself to explore, be curious, do things that are different. And then when you feel ready to evolve, move into the next thing as well. And like have fun. Sagittarius is very happy-go-lucky. They actually have a lot of luck when it comes to money and prosperity. They're always taken care of. So like remember that.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I lost the question I was going to have. This is the first time that's happened. Anyways. How does someone, okay, with those qualities, so I'm going in, like, I'm in a transition period, so I feel, let's say, just, like, ungrounded. Mm-hmm. How can I bring some of that, like, balance in and still, you know, be satisfying some of these needs I have? Because I very much do resonate with the, oh, my God, if I had to do a 9-to-5 the rest of my life, like, please, like, no. No, right. Thank you.
So share with me a little more around this transition. What's going on?
So it's transitioning more of like, you know, career-wise specifically, and you brought up ownership and really taking ownership of the fact that I'm not meant to be in the same box as everyone else, that I'm the disruptor of things, being okay with that. So there's like career-wise, it's really getting into having like my own business and being okay with that transition and building it up and actually talking about it confidently when people are going and being like, well, you have this attorney background and all of this, like you went to school and you did all of these things. And I'd be like,
sure.
How many people use their bachelor's degree still?
Exactly. You know, and it's taking ownership of that. So I think what will really help you in this transition is worrying less about what you're currently doing that you don't want to do anymore. So like one thing as a side note, for example, when I was looking to transition out of my 9-to-5, I never told anybody that I was an executive assistant. When people said, what do? I shared that I was a coach. And a lot of people, when I actually left my 9-to-5 and I made the announcement on Facebook and whatnot, people were like, wait a minute, you were working a day job? Like we had no idea because I didn't make it part of the conversation. And if it got brought up, cool, but I would like bring it back to what I was moving into. So part of what will help you though from the Sagittarius and the Libra Gemini qualities is to be really clear around what you're moving into. What is it that you are doing? What is your business that you can explain to anybody? Like you are so clear on how you're serving, how you're helping people. And from that space of clarity, you're going to feel more grounded because otherwise you're going to be all up here. People are going to say, what is it that you do? And you're going to freeze, or you're going to answer in a question mark, or you're going to justify, or you're going to try to explain it to them in a way that makes sense to them. You've got to cut that out and really hone in on the fact that like you are dynamic, you are like a fire starter, and you have a lot of wisdom. You have a lot of ways in which you're able to help and communicate what it is that you do to your clients. But to get there, to feel grounded, is what do you need to do now to really lay the foundation, right? We say we're not grounded because we don't have a foundation. Mm-hmm. And so what does the foundation look like for you? And how can you get really clear? And how can you communicate what that is to others in a way that feels like very tapped in? And I feel like that's going to help you in the process.
Okay. It's actually really good. Because intuitively, going back to the intuitionist and like journaling about it, just different things that would bring out clarity. So I would have an idea and be confident in that to use that. But I've been resisting doing that.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly. And so then we get frustrated. Mm-hmm. And we don't feel grounded, but it's like, oh, but the answer is actually doing that part, which isn't as fun. It's not as sexy. We want to just be doing the thing we want to be doing. And that used to be me. I used to be, you know, because again, I have a lot of fire like you do. And I would get so restless and I'd just be like, why can't people just understand like what I do? And like, why can't I just do it already? And it wasn't until like I got really like hyper-focused and like just really dedicated to what I could do that things started to shift.
So like doing the work.
Doing the work.
Yeah. Doing the work.
Yeah.
You mentioned the feminine and masculine energies and qualities. Can you also explain that as well to the audience? Because I know people get confused and I can give an explanation, but I'm not as versed in it.
Yeah. So again, masculine, feminine, we want to take away any kind of gender roles from that. And we want to think about it more as yin and yang. Right. And we, you know, light and dark, you know, and kind of look at masculine from the space of, okay, if we're looking at masculine, feminine energy, masculine is the push. It's the thing that comes through. If we're thinking about how we create a child, right? It's the sperm meets the egg. Okay. And what happens? It's the sperm like buries into the egg. And then what happens is the egg takes that and then leans back and creates life. Right? So it's the masculine is the driving force that has caused something to happen, that is causing some kind of effect. And then the feminine is almost catching that energy and leaning back and surrendering and trusting that whatever it is will grow, right? We trust that once an egg is fertilized, we can't force that, right? The masculine right. can't just keep being like, well, do it faster, right? Whether we like it or not, like right. it's going to take 9 months to deliver this child. And it's the feminine that honors the process, that honors that, yes, something is growing inside of me. And it will go from there. Another way to look at it is, you know, the feminine is learning how to surrender, learning how to say thank you. It's not so much about like, oh, I'm going to get my nails done, right? I'm going to be, mm-hmm. I'm going to be in my feminine. Sure. If that helps you relax and let go, great. But what it really means is this idea of trusting and not meddling, not trying to hurry up the process, you know, acknowledging your intuition. That, you know, those things are very tied. I think the feminine is honestly the more powerful of the two. And when we can honor the feminine, we can honor our intuition, then it's almost the guiding force that allows the masculine to do the thing that it needs to do from there.
So then how can someone balance out those energies? Say like, just take, you're a woman, you're a lot going on in the masculine, but you identify as the feminine.
Right.
Because if I understand correctly, like you could be a male and identify as the feminine and vice versa.
Absolutely. They're always in your entire life in a beautiful, like what could happen is you experience both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So but how would you like start to balance that out and start bringing into the feminine since they're so used to being in the masculine.
Right. And I was definitely that person. I was very much in my masculine and a lot of our society is, and we're starting to change that, which is great. So if you're someone that was identifying too much with the masculine, it's first starting to say no, it's starting to create boundaries, saying, you know, I can only work till this long, saying like, I actually can't take on this project, like not doing anything that's going to hurt you from a space of like your finances or hurt your career or hurt like, but it's usually the things that we have to say no to that might wound our ego a little bit or may hurt our pride. What are the things that you're still saying yes to? And the only reason why you're saying yes is because it gives you a sense of entitlement. That's you connecting too much with your masculine, right? We know what our limits are, but it's when we go beyond our limits for some accolade or some sense of feeling like we're going to be more fulfilled or we're going to gain more is actually the place where we need to say no. And so part of releasing the masculine is starting to learn boundaries, learning how to say no, learning how to be okay with having some time off, some time alone, not feeling the need to be everything for everyone. And I think a lot of individuals, especially those that identify as female, identify like being a mother or a nurturer as being in their feminine, but a lot of times it's actually them being in their masculine. A lot of, you know, moms that over nurture, they're actually in their masculine because they're doing too much, right? Mm-hmm. Those people that are the super caregivers, they think they're being feminine. No, you're a super caregiver. When was the last time you took care of yourself? You're actually in your over masculine. And so it's acknowledging that you are important, you are a priority, and how can you bump yourself up on the list to make sure that you're getting some time to lean back and receive and restore your nervous system. Those are the ways that we can start to connect to our feminine, but we can't do that until we start to ease out the masculine. So I say first step is start to see where you're crossing the line when it comes to masculine tendencies. And usually that's saying yes to everything, overexerting your energy, the areas where you're burnt out, the places where you're passive aggressive, likely, or resentful are places where you're overexerting your masculine, your feminine's getting pissed. And so once you start to kind of exercise that and then you create space, then it's kind of weird and you almost like, it's awkward. You're like, wait, I just create space for myself. I just bump myself to the top of the list. I have a night right now where I'm by myself and it's kind of weird. Just be in it. And it's strange, but it's like almost like this other part of you is going to start to awaken because it has permission to. It has space, it has room. And from there, we start to access the intuition. We start to be in more touch with our emotions. We start to understand the feminine allows us to really acknowledge what it is that we actually desire, how we really want to show up from the world, how we can be patient, how we can trust that we don't have to do it all to receive what it is that we want, but we just have to do what feels good, show up, be in integrity, do work hard. Like there's nothing wrong with hard work, but also knowing when to take the time off too. And I think through doing that, you'll be able to open up into it more.
Okay. What about the opposite? So someone who's very much more in their feminine and they're wanting to get more into their masculine.
Yeah, that's more few and far between.
I would say so, but I feel like we had to do the flip on this too.
Yeah, I've actually never been asked that question before. So someone that's too much in their feminine, what I would say is if you're too much in your feminine, there's a part of you that's feeling disconnected from creating and showing up for the work. And so you might still be too much in a dreamy space, too much in a space of kind of going with the flow, but you're not maybe exercising your gifts or what you're here to do, or really utilizing your purpose in a way that creates impact. So part of why we have the masculine is to grow, is to expand, to be impactful. And so I would encourage you to ask yourself, where am I not being the best use of me? Where could I be a little bit more proactive? Where could I start to give back? So what are some things that you could generate that allow you to kind of be out there? Maybe it's just, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you're just really in your feminine. Maybe you're really taking care of like their staff. There's, you know, like things are taken care of, but you don't feel like you're really moving things forward. Maybe you volunteer. Maybe you take a class. Maybe you do something to like make yourself feel like you're doing again in a way that maybe you're not. And that could help.
Okay. So getting into more of like romantic relationships. So say you understand, we can just use me as an example since it's really easy. What should I look in a partner? So you know your sun, moon, rising side. What would be qualities that would be complementary to me and support me going further?
Yeah. So usually I like fire and air signs together. And I also like earth and water signs together as well. But I also, when it's looking at relationships, we kind of want to look at the moon signs more so than we want to look at the sun signs. And I think a lot of times we just look at our sun sign because that's all we know. Mm-hmm. And that's helpful, but it's also more about like who you are during the day. And it's like, I want to know who I'm going to be with at night, because that's probably the person I'm going to spend more time with them probably behind the scenes mm-hmm. than I am at my job, right? So looking at your moon sign, being a Libra, I would love someone that also is excited by like the expansiveness of life, someone with an open mind, someone that's open to possibility. You being with an individual that can see the big picture as well, is willing to be outside the box. Maybe they're an entrepreneur. Maybe they have a job that allows them to travel. They're in a space where some of the components in their chart have a little bit of extra feminine to help support you too, because I do think, and I'm just picking up on this also intuitively, having a male that can identify with the feminine would help you feel a little bit more expressed and be able to relax a little bit yourself. And so kind of having that man that understands like what vulnerability is and what it means to communicate would be really beneficial too. So I see you as someone that has like that fiery passion mm-hmm. for life and is like here for it. And let's travel, let's have fun, let's live on our own terms. And also have that side where they're going to challenge you when it comes to communication and expressing what's on your heart. And I think that would be really valuable to you.
Oh, so interesting talking about universe and like signs and trusting your intuition. I'm like, yep. Mm-hmm. Cause I've had like different list of things or like a man manifestation I created and that I'm just like, yep, those are the major qualities. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then how come you like to see people's moon signs? So if they're fire sign with air sign and then water sign with earth sign, like why mm-hmm. do you have a preference towards that?
Yeah, I just find that like when fire and air come together, it's very passionate. There's a lot mm-hmm. of chemistry. Yeah, now don't get me wrong, the air could blow out the fire. But, you know, I just feel like there's a lot of good synergy that can happen. And then as opposed to like water and fire. Right? Like I feel like with water and fire, it's like fire is going to make like the water boil and water is going to, you know, put out the flames. And then like with water and earth, there's more harmony, right? Like think about, you know, you go to hiking on a mountain and there's a beautiful stream and it's just such a beautiful day. So like, wouldn't you want your relationship to be like that? As opposed to like again, like air and water, it's like, okay, I'm with someone that's literally suffocating me. It feels like I'm drowning. You know, now again, all signs work. There's so many different layers, but that's just kind of a rule of thumb. I'm like, okay, earth and water go well. Fire and air seem to go well. So let's just jive on that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a little side note, caveat, disclaimer. Do not take this as law or
exactly.
Like, it's the rule. It's just
totally. It's a tool. It's mm-hmm. a way to help aware. You know, and again, like you know, you meet people too that it also depends on their environment. How were they raised? What were their value systems like? Mm-hmm. You know, those can totally play a factor. in it as well. So, it's just a piece that you can apply.
So where can someone find, like, go and find their birth chart and figure that out?
Yeah.
And what do they need to know?
So if you want to know your rising sign, you're going to need your birth time. If you don't have your birth time, you'll get a partial chart. But if you want your full chart, you're going to need your birth time. So I would go to a site like astro.com or Cafe Astrology. They're both great for beginners. And you'll need your birth date, the location, and the city is fine, and potentially the birth time. If you don't have it, text your mom, look on your birth certificate. And it's not the end all be all if you don't, but it definitely provides more info.
Okay. And then where should they start and focus on to learn? Like, they get their chart, what should they look at? Should they just be the moon, rise, and sun sign?
Start with that. And honestly, if you really want to learn astrology, before you really even dig super deep into your chart, learn all 12 signs. Like, literally learn all 12 signs, and then learn what the planets mean. So, like, learn the fact that the moon is feminine, learn the fact that Saturn is the planet of rules and discipline, because that way, once you learn all 12 signs and you learn what the planets mean, and then you look at your chart and you're like, okay, Saturn is the planet of rules and discipline, and my Saturn is in Virgo, then I'm going to realize that when it comes to rules and discipline, I'm going to act like a Virgo, and Virgo is all about structure and having things a certain way. And that makes me understand myself better as a leader and someone that deals with rules, et cetera, et cetera. So learn the 12 signs, learn the planets, and then just start to play. Astrology is an intuitive science, and it is something that you will always be learning from. I will look at my chart today and I will probably learn something new that I wasn't aware of, because we're always evolving. And as we're evolving, the things we look at change and our chart looks different to us.
Mm. So then do you know about, like, the Saturn return and all of, like, can you explain that as well?
Sure. So Saturn return, I didn't mention it. Saturn, I was actually having my Saturn return when I had my rock bottom. I didn't realize it at the time, but it was literally, I had my Saturn return, the day after I went and sought out therapy. That was when my Saturn return started.
Beautiful. So,
as a little preview of what Saturn return means. So Okay. Essentially, like I said, the sun, the moon, and the planets all move around the zodiac wheel like a game board, and they all move at different paces. It takes the sun 1 year to move around the zodiac wheel. It takes the moon 1 month to move around the zodiac wheel. Very interesting. It takes the sun 1 year and it takes the moon, the feminine, 1 month. But anyway,
we'll put a pin on that.
yeah. She's the fastest of all of them. Interesting. So Saturn, though, it can take, because of retrogrades, it's not an exact science, but Saturn can take anywhere from 25 to 32 years to move around the zodiac wheel. So what's happening is, for example, when I was born, Saturn was in Libra. It took 26 years for Saturn to move around the zodiac wheel and be back in Libra again. And it was when I was 26 that I had a moment where I realized my life wasn't the way it was supposed to be, because Saturn governs rules. It governs karma. It governs this notion of soul contracts. Are you doing what you're here to do? And clearly at 26 years old, I was not doing what I was here to do. I was not in my soul purpose, bopping around from job to job, having a plethora of addictions, feeling really uncertain with my life. That was not what my soul intended. And so what happens is Saturn kind of kicks you on your ass to make you start to see what isn't working in your life. And further, once it kind of knocks you around enough, it will help you find the proper support so that you can. And I think that's why I was so ready for therapy, why I took to it well, because Saturn was kind of influential in that way. And so when we have our Saturn return, it's really a time where that can happen. So it usually happens like late 20s, early 30s, then it will happen again, in our our mid 50s. And then, you might hit it one more time, like in retirement. You might be in your 80s, 90s. At that point, it's like, whatever. I feel like a lot of people, like, your third Saturn return might just be when you leave this earth. You're like, all right, I'm good.
I'm done.
I'm good.
Okay.
I don't really worry about that one. But yeah, so, and Saturn return can last for up to 3 years. Now, the most crucial part is when it's in the, I forget my degree, to be honest with you, but when Saturn hits the exact degree that it was in when you were born, you'll feel it the most. But mm-hmm. overall, your Saturn return will last around 3 years. And so those 3 years are really a growth spurt and a learning curve and an opportunity to open up and heal. Right before I came on here, I was interviewing with someone and I was like, how are you? She's like, great. I just ended my Saturn return last week. I was like, amazing. And we talked about, right? I was like, congratulations. And we just talked about, you know, her journey and kind of mm-hmm. what she went through and how it's already lined her up in so many ways to where she's going that is so aligned. So.
Wow, that's so interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it could start at 25 and be able to, I knew it could, like, I heard someone say like 28 and then 32. And then I sat here and knowing the basics, I'm like, but what you're describing is like coming to your knees moment. I'm like, that was 25 for me, mm-hmm. even though there's been lots of shit that's been going on between now and then and stuff. I'm like, nope, 25.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll know. I mean, it was like I knew before even double checking, you know, it was like, mm-hmm. I was like, this is what's happening. Once I kind of came out of the fog.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of there's good and bad talk around it. I'm very neutral when it comes to astrology. I'm like, it's here to help you. It's also here to make you see stuff that maybe you didn't want to see. And like, that's not, you know, there's no good or bad. It's all just shaping and reorganizing and helping you grow. And if we want to achieve the things we want to achieve in our life, there's going to be some struggle. There's going to be some growth spurts and that's just a part of it. And then when you can see it from that perspective, it just makes it a little easier to navigate and you can appreciate it more.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's like, it's a tool. I love it too. Yeah. Like there's so many other different avenues. But before I get into the final questions, how come the sun takes 12 months and then the moon takes
28 to 29 days.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why per se, okay. but I think intuitively you're picking up on something that, you know, the masculine energy isn't as powerful as we think. We think that go, 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 do, do, do energy is what makes things move. But we're like, wait a minute, the masculine energy of the sun takes 1 year to do what the feminine energy of the moon can do in 28 to 29 days, which shows us the real true power, which is in the feminine. And wow. that feeling of, if I just lean back and stop worrying about do, 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 go, 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 I actually move faster, which is so true for us. When we're impatient and we're like getting really squirmy and we're pushing and we're rushing and we're making crazy decisions, we actually don't get ahead. It's in those times where we're very trusting and we think about what it is that we're doing and we honor our intuition that maybe it seems like it's taking longer, but in the end, we actually get further along.
Mm, okay.
That's wow. my take, but you know, I'm open to more opinions on that.
I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things. I'm like, I'll have to sit and marinate on that for a minute because mm-hmm. it's also like as women, because they say that, like your cycle is every like 28 days, and I'm just like, okay. And then I've heard some people call it the moon cycle. Like they're on their. I'm like, okay, all right, and see mm-hmm. how that goes. But mm-hmm. that's also a great perspective as. To put for people of being that patient and trusting and see and like receiving
yes.
what is coming in versus trying to be forceful.
Right.
Man, women need to get more women. Feminine energy needs to get a better rep.
I think it is, you know, mm-hmm. we're definitely seeing shifts now more than ever. I think even the fact that people are saying my moon cycle and there's women's circles now mm-hmm. and, I do think we're recognizing the power of the feminine, things that are happening in politics and the patriarchy awareness. That's all feminine influence that's starting to come through. So yeah. It's happening. And I think the feminine has, you know, the feminine energy has a plan, right?
Yeah. It has a plan that we're not aware of. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like everything else. Sometimes I made True. A post on Instagram where I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm universe. Can you just show me the hand? Just show me the hand. Tired of this like going in blind thing, but it's okay. It's how it has to be. All right. Getting into the final questions, where can everyone find you?
Yeah. So pretty much under my name, Danielle Mercurio. That's my website, danielmercurio.com. I'm on Instagram under Danielle Mercurio. My podcast is the Danielle Mercurio Show. So just find my name and you will find me. I'm based in Philadelphia. I do a lot of different events here, but I travel as well.
Okay. What's a book, resource, podcast, whatever you would recommend to the audience that has been supportive of you?
Oh my goodness. Okay. And for your gorgeous audience, I think a really great podcast would be Expanded by Lacey Phillips. Have you heard of her?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Lacey Phillips is really great because she talks about manifestation in a way that is more rooted in getting to the deep work of why you're not manifesting properly, but she does it in a way that's easy to understand and relatable. So it's not just some kind of foofy law of attraction, just being like, oh, like, if I want it bad enough, it'll happen. It's like, yes, and there's some kind of subconscious block that's still not letting you get it. How can we go down there, remove that, so we can open it up into what we really want? And I feel like her podcast does a great job of exploring that, and she brings in really engaging people as well. So Lacey Phillips is great to follow. She probably will write a book, but right now her podcast is Expanded. Another great book. I feel like everything in my life changes so much. I'm like looking around. So if you want to learn more about astrology, check out Linda Goodman. She's since passed, but it's okay. Older metaphysical texts on astrology that are easy to understand. I love Love Signs by Linda Goodman. That book literally changed my life. It was like, I would read it and I just felt held and understood. And so, that's a big one too. So anything astrology, yeah, look up Linda Goodman.
Okay. What has been your bravest moment?
I feel like my bravest moment honestly does go back to that moment where I decided for my life to change, to take ownership. I was so scared. I was so clueless. And I say that with love. Like, I was just so unsure of what I was unsure of. And I still can feel that part of me that wasn't sure if I actually could see this through, that I actually could see the other side of getting better. And so I feel like for me, taking that moment to say, I'm going to get help, I'm going to be sober, I'm going to not do all these harmful activities, was transformational for me. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's also important for people, like taking ownership and being like, okay, something's got to change.
Yeah. And I knew a lot of and I will say, like, I'm not sober currently. And I brought some of the things that I was overindulging back in my life, but it was almost like that was the point. Like, when I would be at different meetings and talking to my therapist, even though I was very much in a space where I had to practice sobriety in a lot of ways, I knew that it would come back in my life. And not because I wanted it from that desperate addict perspective, but I was like, it'll come back because it means that there's a part of me that understands moderation. There's a part of me that feels like I don't need to reach for these things anymore. I don't need to go into desperation mode and fill myself up. You know, I'm going to be reaching for a glass of wine because I'm celebrating and it's my one glass of wine and then I'll go home. And I knew that that was going to be the place that I would get to one day. And it took a few years, honestly, before I could start to incorporate things back in, but that was part of it too.
So many great nuggets throughout this, besides just talking about astrology. I love this conversation. The final question, what is your definition of brave?
So my definition of brave is allowing yourself to go to that place that feels truly authentic to you and allowing yourself to exercise that authenticity in a way that exudes confidence, in a way that is non-negotiable, in a way that you know that it may not be what everyone else expects, but you know that it meets your own expectations. And you do it from that place. And that's how bravery ensues.
Love that definition. Thanks. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. It was so nice to get to know you through this.
Oh, I had so much fun. Like, again, I could talk about this all day long, guys, like geeking out different levels. So yeah, vulnerability, here's another side of me.
I like it. It's very cool. Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Built Brave. If you love this episode, heck, if you like this episode, please head on over, give it a rate, review, subscribe, like, shout it out on your social media with your major takeaways and what you loved about the episode. And as always, tag me in that at Lo Wentworth, because I love hearing what you guys got out of the episodes. And until next time, remember, you've always been brave.